Perek Yud Beis, Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Gimel. Okay, Yud Beis Pasuk Gimel. We began the Perek last week where Hashem said to Yirmiyah, in these psukim he gave Klal Yisrael, Hashem gave Klal Yisrael a new title, the Beis Meri. They are a rebellious people. And B'Sukh Beis HaMeri Ato Yoshev, and Hashem said they have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, they do not hear. I gave them opportunities. I gave them the tools to take advantage of the opportunities, and they have miserably failed. And therefore now they're going to suffer the consequences. Okay, here's a whole new theme. I want you to do simonim. This is really the major theme of Sefer Yecheskel. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always telling Yecheskel to do things which Maisa Avay Simin Labanim. His actions will represent, will solidify, they will serve as a form of nevuah for Klal Yisrael. I want you to make for yourself kalei goyla, special utensils that are symbolic, representative of golos. It's like a survival kit. It's a multi-million dollar business. Go online, go type into Amazon, survival kit. Only 1,000 different products you can buy for doomsday. The apocalypse upon us, you'll have at least your whatever you need to survive. So I want you to make the clay goyla, ugalei yoimam leinehem, and I want you to go into exile by day in their presence. Vigolisa mimukaimcha, I want you to go into exile from your location, el mokaimacher leinehem, ula yiru ki beis mirihema, maybe they will see what you're doing, and maybe it will have an effect upon them because they need this, they need to see this because they are a Beis Meri Hema. Let's see the Mitzudot Sabbat Pasuk Gimel. Klei Goyla. Kelim Hamyuchadim Lanshe Goyla Vehem. Now here he writes with Mitzudot, is quoting from Chazal, a Tarmil. Tarmil is a knapsack. The Kad is a pitcher. Uka'ora and a dish. Uchidoyme, like a knapsack, a canteen. Uka'ora, I guess some type of utensils to eat, uchadoyim, things which are miyuchad for people who go hiking, people who go in exile, ugle yoimam, be'etzem hayom tiyagol leinehem, I want you to go into golos midday, v'choyze mefarish ech yeh hagolos, v'amash shetiyah hagolam umu atok mimukoymcha, I want you to go into exile and to be uprooted from your place, el mokoym acher, v'tzen eloymar, mibesay el beis acher, ho'imed mimerchok, as we're going to explain in more detail in a few moments, it's going to be symbolic of the Golus that Klal Yisrael will experience. Maybe only the Jewish people will see what you're doing. They don't accept the Musa B'peh. Maybe it will be of some help. V'yav shekol hanuvua hazois v'remozim ha'ila nemru al yeshve Yushalayim im kol zeh ulai mehem yichu musa v'yichna levavah. Now here is the point that the Mitzudos, the very important message, the question he's coming to address is, who is Yecheskel speaking to? He's speaking to people who have already gone into Golus. He's speaking to the 10,000 people, the Chorosh v'Hamasker, plus the people that went into Golus in the days of Yehoyakim. And the message that he's giving is describing what's going to happen to the people of Yerushalayim. So why is he giving this message? He's like he's preaching to the choir, not only the choir, because these people also are in need of need to do tshuva, but this should really be addressed to the people living in Yerushalayim. So the audience is not exactly the correct audience, the right audience. These people that he's speaking to. So that's what we learned last week. Is they'll send letters. They'll hear what's going to happen. Everyone here in Golus has relatives in Yerushalayim. So the people here in Bavel will write letters to the people in Yerushalayim, and maybe somehow the trickle-down effect, it will cause them to do tshuva. But the Mitzudos here says something a little bit different, because the people here in Bavel also need to do teshuva. And when they hear the suffering that their brethren will suffer in Yerushalayim, that has an effect on them as well. They don't want their relatives in Eretz Yisrael to suffer like they have suffered. So maybe they will do teshuva, maybe that will have some type of trickle-down effect. Let's see Rashi. Rashi over here tells us in more detail, Pasuk Gimel, the Klei Goyla, Klei Lishdois, a utensil to drink, I guess that's a canteen, Umikido kitano lolushbacharara. A mikida, I guess, means a pot, some type of a bowl, which is used to to knead dough. This is a sign for the people of Yerushalayim that they're going to come on to this. And they're not going to need to knead dough in a pit on the ground, a hollow pit on the ground. And the gravel will come into the pot. So one more time. So this is a sign.
Right.
You have the
word. They would have pots. If you don't have pots, you dig a little hole and you use the hole.
Right. So they wouldn't have to dig a hole in the ground.
He tells them to make a pot. Umikida ketana lolosh bacharara. Ois lebet Yisrael shebushalayim sheyasu kein v'lo yitztorchu lolosh batzek beguma al gabe karka v'hachat zotzim nichnasim b'soychoi. I guess what he means, v'lo is saying is do teshuva so you should not need to come on to this. Do teshuva so you should not need to come on to this situation where you're going to have to knead your dough.
He's saying, take that bowl, this little bowl with you to knead in.
Yeah.
So that if you don't do that, then you'll have to use a hole in
the ground. Then you will have to.
Gravel's going to get into your dough.
I got it. So take this bowl with you so you should not need to come to knead the dough on the ground when it'll get mixed with gravel, and then you'll be putting stones in your stomach. They did not listen to Yechezkel, and therefore the end was they needed to come on to these bowls, these clay goyla. Who hakasa b'sefer kinois vayagreis bechotzot shinoi. Okay, again, I'm not sure how this all fits together, but there it says that my teeth were broken with gravel.
Right.
The medrash kinos
didn't listen.
So the end was they did have to knead their dough on the ground, and the dough did get mixed with gravel, and therefore their teeth were broken, were shattered because they were biting stones. They were biting on stones. Okay, so I think when it's v'lo yitztarchu, this is the jit. I'm not going to go through the words because something does not feel right here. But whatever the basic idea is, simple. He's making clay golas, special utensils that they're going to need in golas because now the time is coming when they're going to go into golas and it's not going to be good.
Well, the Malm makes a point of saying, like sort of what you said, that these people that have to be tshuva, that even in golas, it's not like you own a home. They're going to have to move from place to place in golas. You're not, you know, you can't just live there for whatever. It's not like it's your place. You're going to be chased around.
Even in Golas, you're going to go from one country to the next.
Place to place. You've got to get, you know, clay goyla, even in Golas.
Uglei yoimam, go into exile by day. Miyoim el yoim, shnayim ushloisha yomim, nohog biatzmachok adam hamechin tzadav legolas. Hashem is telling Yechezkel, make believe for 2 or 3 days, make believe like you're going into Golas, walk from place to place. Sheyiru b'nei ha-goyla, v'yishalu ma ma'asecha, they'll look at you and they'll say to you, what exactly are you doing? And you'll respond that what I'm doing is a sign for the king Tzidkiyahu and his people. So here Rashi is telling us the question we mentioned before is why is Yechezkel speaking to the people in Golas? He should be speaking this message to the people of Yerushalayim. The answer is they will send messengers. They will send letters to their relatives in Yerushalayim. The Yodiyu Lachehem, and will reveal to their brothers, Ukroy Vehem, Asher, Sham, Kichol Asher, Yishmu Mipicha, everything that they hear from your mouth. V'chein kol yoimam shebemikra loshen yoim yoim hu. When it says yoimam, according to Rashi, it means daily, not just today, not just tomorrow, but today, tomorrow, and the next day. Dover hanohog yomim rabim kach shamati mishmoy shel Rabbi Menachem ve'emes divarav. How often do you have such an expression in Rashi? Rashi quotes someone and he says what he says is emes. It's very, very rare for Rashi to say such a thing, but obviously this comes to do with the Radat, with Mitsudos, who explained that when it says yoimam, it means be'etzem hayoim hazeh. Be'etzem hayom hazeh means midday, when the sun is in its tokfa, is in its intensity. That's what the Metzudos said. And that's poetic. I mentioned many, many times, there's a lot of parallels between coming into Eretz Yisrael and going out of Eretz Yisrael, or the Geula. The Geula took place, the Pasuk says, Vayihi be'etzem hayom hazeh hoitzi Hashem es b'nei Yisrael mimitzrayim, after 430 years. And here, according to the Metzudos, that's exactly the point. The point is, Yomam is the Golos is going to be be'etzem. Just like the Geula was be'etzem hayom hazeh, the Golos is going to be be'etzem ze'lu'um hazeh, because of the sins of b'nei Yisrael. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi says Yomam is an entirely different approach. It means daily. I want you to repeat this thing multiple times, so that maybe it will sink into their heads what exactly is going to happen. And Rashi says ve'emes devarav, meaning that I don't like what the Metzudos will say a couple of hundred years from now. I'm telling you what my pshat is, the emes of pshat. Yeah. Okay. Let's see Radak. Radak pasuk gimel. I'm not finished. Ula yiru shemo yavinu. Here yiru means to understand. Okay, Rabbi Michal, what's this word? So the Rashi pasuk gimel, Dibur Hamaskel Ulu, towards the end of the Rashi's.
Understand. To perceive. Realize.
Okay, so they will realize. It's interesting because normally when you talk about understanding, we use the word to listen. Shmia, Nase v'nishma. Here, we're saying Ula Yiru, and that Rashi is learning Yiru as a way of understanding. Ki beis miri, heima. Lefich therefore adayin hushama. That's why kibes mirina. I don't know what Rashi means. Look at the adayin hu shema. It's still their name.
Or a shema.
Shema maybe. So what does Rashi here mean? How do they translate there in
Shema?
In
would be with a head.
How do they translate that in the English?
Therefore, it is still a perhaps. It's
shema.
A maybe.
Shema.
Ulai, that's why it says Ulai. Okay. Mm-hmm. Adayin Hushema. Maybe they will do teshuva. Maybe there's hope. Okay, let's see Radak. Radak Vyatov Adam Asil Khamek Yasov Taking Lukha Klei Goyla. Now what are the Klei Goyla Vehimako? Number one is a stick. Okay, no one said that. Everyone has a different interpretation of what the Klei Goyla are. The Radak is in a stick, a walking stick. The Tarmil is a knapsack, the Kois a cup, the Kad a jug, a canteen, ukara, and a plate. They're all going to go into Golis. And illustrate this in their presence. And demonstrate this in the eyes of the Bnei Goyla, who promised them al sheker. Now, could be that Radak is giving us a new interpretation that Rashi and the Metzudos did not give. And he's saying the reason why he's giving is because the people in Bavel, maybe they were the ones, I'm not sure if this is what he means, the people who already went into Galus were encouraging, were telling the people of Yerushalayim, you have nothing to worry about. You will not be put into Galus. We sent into Galus. So we are here, and we're in control of the situation, and it's not going to happen that everyone else will come to Galus. In fact, we're going to return to you at some point in time, maybe yet, maybe not. So here he's saying, no, you people, you are misleading your brethren in Yerushalayim, and you should send them the correct message that very soon they're going to go into Galus as well. Ugle Yoimam, Min Heyois Hashemesh Al Haaretz Yikro Yoimam. When the sun shines on the earth, it's called Yoimam. Aval Yoim Koilel Pa'amim Hayom Vehalaila. So we have now a new interpretation of words Yomam. Yomam, according to the Radak, is similar to what the Metzudos said, is daylight. Daylight. In contrast to the word Yoim, which is the calendar day. Does not necessarily mean daylight. It can mean the evening as well. It means the calendar day. Therefore, Yomam, Hashem told him, I want you to go into Golus Yomam in daylight. Now, what's the meaning? I want you to go into exile from one neighborhood to the next. You go from Borough Park to Williamsburg to Flatbush to Muncie. You go in the same city. You go from place to place. The Yigla Lebes Rachuk, Mibesa b'makam shehiu b'nei agoyle royim. You'll go from one place to another place. Everyone will observe what you're doing. V'zeye simin v'ois liyoshve Yerushalayim sheyiglu mimena b'yoimam. It's a sign that the people of Yerushalayim will also go into Golis by day, in daylight. Be'od yomam yikader shimsham. While the sun is beating down, the sun is in its intensity. The Oisacher, the second sign. Now that he's already, Rav Yaakov is now going into the next, the following Pesukim. Hashem is going to Yecheskel to go and bore a hole in the wall. Sheyachtar bikir ho'ir, Laila. I want you to make a hole in the wall of the city at night. Ka'adam hayotze biginevo, like a person who is a ganaf. A person who's a ganaf, he tunnels in the middle of the night in order to secretly enter and escape. The Yisa Klegoila al Kisefa, I want you to carry the Klegoila al Kisefa, the Yitzil Derech Achkor, I want you to go out through this hole. The Yechase Ponab et Seiso Shlo Yiren Adam, we're going to see soon. Hashem will tell him to cover your face in darkness. No one should see you. Ka Adam Sheyesh Loi Boishes, like a person who is ashamed. The Zeye Ois Lit Sidkiyahu, this will be a sign for Sidkiyo the king. Shayatza mi Yerushalayim Laila, who escaped from Yerushalayim and who left at night in the middle of darkness, Kamoshakasa Vayivruchu Vayetsu Laila Minoir, he left the city in the middle of the night. Okay, now there's an. Yeah?
The term Yamam, I was thinking, says Amud Anan Yamam Vayetsu
Laila, very good. So therefore, Yamam,
it could mean
daylight.
In the daytime, but it could also mean daily.
Daily, very good, excellent. So there as well, the word has the same two possible meanings. Daylight and daily, excellent. Excellent. Okay, now before we go further, it's a very important chazal. There's something very deep in this chazal. I don't know the depth, but it's kedai to hear what it says and to think about exactly what it means. There's something called Klei Goyla. We are in Golis, we're in America, we're in Golis. Okay, so we're in Golis, therefore the utensils that we use to survive are all called clay goyla. And obviously, on a very simple level, Rashid, Radak, Mesudos told us it means a walking stick, a canteen, a knapsack, like we're hikers. Okay, we're going on a camping trip. We're walking around carrying all these things. But the Medrash is a little bit more elaborate. The Medrash says, Mahu clay goyla. What exactly are clay goyla? I'm reading from Eicha Rabba. Mahu clay goyla. Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Rabbi Shim, Rabbi Chalafta, Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Omar, Chemes, Vishotiachu Ka'ara. A canteen. Vishotiach, I guess shotiach means a piece of leather. You lie down like a what's it called? A sleeping bag. A sleeping bag. Uke ara. And a pat. V'chol echad v'yecha yeshla l'shama. And each one of these things, here's the key words I want to focus on. Each one of these things that I mentioned can be used for two purposes. Multifunctional. Chemes, a container. Noisin ba kemach, you can store flour. Vinois na tachas reisha, you also can use it as a pillow. Uka ara, a plate. Oichel ba, you eat with it. Vishoise ba, and you can drink with it. Shotiach, a piece of leather. Okay, could you maybe close the door maybe behind you?
We close it, it locks.
So, you know, you can lock it even. What do you let them come around the other way? Everyone has to make so much noise. You know, maybe can we just? It's broken. Okay. Shotiach li yeshiva. It is a sleeping bag which you lie on. It's a sleeping bag which you you can sit on it and you can lie upon it, like one of those couches which opens up into a bed. Or is a certain type of box which holds a container which can hold multiple things. The aside you take out of this medrash is that in Golos, the kalim that you use are multifunctional. That implies that in Geula, in times of Geula, the kelim that you use are not multifunctional. Every utensil has one use, one purpose. This medrash defining for us the difference between Golos and Geula. In Galus, a shul, what is a shul? A shul, unfortunately, many shuls today, it's also the community center. When you have to give a driver's...
Multi-purpose.
You have to go give a driver a defense driving course. Where do you have it? In the shul itself. You just put a parochas in front of the Aron Kodesh. When you have to... the town meeting, it's in... Everything that we in Galus, you don't have the advantage of designation. Again, this requires a lot more elaboration and understanding. But this is defining the difference between Galus and Geula. In times of Geula, everything has its purpose, its sanctity, and you don't mix. If something is Kaddish, it's Kaddish, it's holy. Yeah.
Not just that, but you are at home.
Right.
Right? So in Golos, you have a go kit and you have no home and you're wandering around.
But it's
around.
More than that.
So
it's
basic
more.
Your most basic minimalist survival.
But it's more than that.
The obvious one.
Okay, but it's more than that. It's you don't have class. You don't have. I don't have the right words. I don't know what I'm trying to say even. But when everything is the same, everything is the same, then you really have nothing. Today we make believe that this is for this purpose, and the next day we make believe this is for another purpose. I gave an example. It's not a good example. Okay, like you have a town meeting, the mayor is coming to town to speak. There's a community meeting. So where is the community board meeting going to take place? In the shul. The shul is not a place that should be for the community board meeting. Because the shul is a place where you daven to Hashem. And if you're going to have the community board meeting in the shul, so then when you're davening to Hashem, it's your mind, you're thinking about the place doesn't have any kedusha. Yesterday we had entertainment here. Yesterday we had this here and that here. So today we're davening over here. It downgrades the sanctity.
It's like in a bungalow colony when you have the social hall is the shul and shop.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but everything is like that. So it downgrades the sanctity, the esteem, the aura, the chashivos,
yeah.
Is when everything is all the same. It's just a matter of make-believe. Okay, right now, what are we doing? Okay, this. When you're living in times of geula, there's a chashivos. And the chashiva says you don't mix and match. If something is sacred, it's sacred. If something is meant for this purpose, it's meant for this purpose. It's a whole different attitude towards life. And this is what the Pasuk is saying, is klei goyla, make for yourself multifunctional utensils. Okay, let's go to the next Pasuk. Next Pasuk is...
It's almost like, I mean, seriously, at the end of Gittin, when you have the Machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, in terms of separate swimming. And so Beis Hillel says, you know, like if you had a pool and you make separate hours, basically. Beis Shammai said that's not good enough.
You need
a place where men swim and a place where women swim. Because if you're in the if you're swimming in a place where women swim, you're going to be mahara. Women are here sometimes psychologically. It ruins
absolutely,
the place.
The whole it's the psychology
right.
Behind
yeah,
the chashivas. This is the difference, Golos and Geula. In Golos, everything is multifunctional. In Geula, it's a different attitude.
Yeah.
There is chashivos, there's dignity. This
That's
is
why
the,
you can't have a kiddush where you're not in a Pesach message, you're not allowed to have a kiddush.
Ideally,
you're
going
to run you out of Flatbush.
Do anything.
Okay, let's go further.
And sleep, you can't do anything.
The atom. Okay, pasuk dal. Pasuk dal yotzeisa chelecha kichli goyla. And you shall take out chelecha kichli goyla, like the utensils of exile, yoimam le'enehem, during the day before their eyes. The atah teitzei va'erev le'enehem, and you will also go, and you will go out in the evening in their presence, kimotzoei goyla, like those who depart on exile. In other words, you're going to make believe by day and by night, daily, in every night, you're going to go from place to place in front of their eyes with your knapsack, your walking stick, and your flashlight, and v'chulu, to make believe you're going into Galus, and this will make an impression upon the Jewish people. Let's see the Mitzvah of the Pasuk, Dalid. The Pasuk says, V'yotzeisa chelecha klei ha-goyla shetaseh, the utensils of exile that you fashion, toitzi be'etzem hayom le'enehem, you shall bring forth, when it's midday, when it's day, in their presence, k'moshe motziim klei goyla, v'yotzeim aloymar, be'inyun derech hoitzoas klei goyla. Again, just explaining the same, what's customary when a person is on the run, the way he looks, the way he behaves, part of Yata Teitse, written in the Loimar Teitse, Shur Be'erev B'mukaimcha El Mokem Acher, and you shall do the same thing in the evening. Kimotze Goylo Kider Hamoitziim, Lugoylo Shoyotziim, Af Balayla Velo Yamtinu Ad Yor Hayoim, and you shall go out in the middle of the night as well. Do not wait until the morning. Just like a person who's running away in the middle of the night, that's how you should behave, and let people see what you're doing. Maybe it will make an impression upon them that if the Navi is behaving in such a way, this is a sign for Klal Yisrael. Rashi Pasik Dalit Kimotzae Kerem Machol. We have a translation of these words. Yeah. It's Pasik Dalit Rashi.
Yeah. Kom Leiz Issues.
Departures. Mm-hmm. Like a person takes out klei goyla, sakoi bikasefa, his sack on his shoulder, umakloi biyadoi, and his walking stick in his hand, kimoitse goyla, kimoshi yetse adam goyla, sor vizoif mood. The Radak tells us that when you go out, you shall present yourself in a certain mood. You shall be upset. Motzae shame, it's a noun, kamo motzae boiker v'erev v'echad kimoitzei mayim. Okay, whatever that means. As you depart. Let's see the next pasik. Hey, le'enehem chasor. Now here we have a new concept. Le'enehem chasor l'cha v'kir v'yotzei sabo. When you go out at night, I want you to bore a hole through the wall. Make believe you're a fugitive escaping from prison. Let's see the Mitzvot David. Pasukei chasol lecha, asil lecha chatira, bekir, make a hole in the wall, habayis, bederech bo, and through this hole, yoytzi es atzmai, v'hu l'rames al tzidkiyo, sheyetze mino ir derech ma'ara, tzidkiyo will escape Yerushalayim through a secret tunnel. Rashi, pasuk ches, chasol lecha bakir, similar to Kiyosh, yetz derech mechi, derech machtara, machteres, ma'ara.
Machteres, ma'ara.
Chasor. What?
Chasor is the same.
Chasor, right.
Machteres.
Machteres, a tunnel. A boring of a tunnel. Kiyore lot says derech befarhesio mibnei hakastim. He was afraid to go out in public, he would be captured. Let's see Radak, pasuk hey. Le'enehem, v'yotzeis lebo b'makom chasira sakir, toilich kelecha, the place where you make a hole, you put your utensils, rotzo loymar, sheyel chasur makom tsar v'yotzei b'cheilav, v'achar kach yotzei hu. So he's explaining that the hole is very, very small. It's very narrow. You can't go through the hole, the tunnel, carrying your knapsack. You have to first put your knapsack through the hole, and then you can wiggle your body through the hole. It's a very narrow, how does he know that? I don't know how he knows that, but that's how he's being medayik in the word le'enehem. Okay, next pasuk, pasuk vav.
Well,
yeah.
You know, apparently, it says that dig the hole for yourself, right?
So he's without your utensils. The hole is only narrow, it's only wide enough in order for your body to slip through. It's not wide enough to go out with your utensils. Pasig Vav, Le'enehem, in their presence, Al Kosev Tisa, in their presence, you shall escape, you shall leave with your utensils upon your shoulder. Bo Alota Totsi, in darkness. Okay, Valota means in darkness. Totsi Ponecha, you shall go forth. Bring them forth, your face shall go forth in darkness. Panecha sichase, cover your head, and do not look at the ground when you escape. Ki meifes nesaticha levesi shol, you are a sign for the Jewish people. Your behavior of going forth with your utensils on your shoulder in darkness, with your face covered, not looking down, it is an image which is frightening, which is a my face for the Jewish people. Let's see the Mitzvot Zot Pasuk Vav. The Mitzvot is obviously very similar. Al Kosev Tisa es Klei Agoyla Umetal Talav. The utensils of exile carry on your shoulder. Valata Taitzi. Hakeliv HaMetal Talim Taitzi B'Oifel HaChleshach Mebli Kachas B'yad Dover HaMeir. Go out in darkness. Nothing shall give you any light. Kider Cholchei Goyla. Panecha Techasek Adam HaBoish Leheros Panav. Like a person who is embarrassed. When you cover your face, cover your eyes also. Cover your eyes so you cannot see the ground. Just like what you do is a custom of those who go into exile, kach kein yiglu heim, they will go into exile, v'yasu k'mo she'asisa, and they will do exactly what you are doing. Rashi, pasuk vav, ba'alata toitzi, lishach techshach toitzi eskelecha. The word ba'alata means darkness.
You see what?
Okay, yeah. Darkness.
Yeah. Similarly, ba'alata means b'chashai.
Secretly?
Yeah, stealthily, or filotehem, their dark magic.
Uh-huh, filotehem, darkness. Okay, so this means darkness. Why do we chose this word specifically? It's interesting. I'm sure there must be some deeper meaning. I didn't see anything why this word is selected to express the idea of darkness. Let's see Radak. Ah, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe that's a very good place to study. Elchanan, you have to study that. Okay, let's see Radak. Radak, Pasuk Vav, Lenehem, Ba'alata, B'choshech, B'loy B'ner, Kodem Sheesh, Loy B'yishas, the person is embarrassed. That says, V'loy Yirtzes, Sheyiruhu, B'nei Adam, it's a busha. The fact that Klal Yisrael went into Golis is the greatest busha, and is the greatest Chilul Hashem. V'loy Sires, Aretz, Alderech, for example, B'yishnu, Me'oid, Ki Azavnu, Aretz, we are put to shame in this that we have abandoned the earth. So let's see the next pasuk Zayin. I don't have any midrashim here. There's nothing over here. Pasuk Zayin. Vaaskein and Yecheskel says, "I've done so. Kasher tsuvesi. I've done as I was commanded. Kelai hoitzesi. I took out my utensils. Kichle goyla yoimam. Like one takes out utensils of exile daily or by day. Uva erev chosarti livakir bayot. And in the evening, I tunneled a cave with my hands against the wall, Balaton darkness, and in darkness I went forth, Al Kosef Nosasi Lenehem, and I carried my utensils upon myself in their presence, exactly like what Hashem told me to do. Mitsudo Stavit Pasuk Zayin, Kichlei.
What? In different places, day by day, or not in the same place?
No, not in the same place. Hashem already told from
right,
place to
how
place.
How many holes is he going
to
dig in the wall in the same place?
Obviously, every day he's doing it in a different place, a new performance. He's a traveling concert.
Performance artist.
He's making his rounds throughout the city. Pasuk Zayin, Klei Goyla, the Inyan Derech Itzeisa Klei Goyla, just like you take out the Klei Goyla, Yoimam Be'etzim Hayoim Biyad. Ki im yodi chasarti bikir l'tzorchi lot says terchbo. Yecheskel says, I did what Hashem told me to do. I used my own hands to carve out in the wall a place in order to escape. Rashi pasuk zayin b'kli hoitzesi b'kli goyla v'yamam yoyim yoyim hoyisi merari lochem shani misakin la'atzmi kli goyla. So the Rashi is lishitasoi. Yama means daily. Daily I would show, I would present myself as if I'm preparing for myself utensils of exile. Okay, let's see the Radak. Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Zayin v'as b'yat. Loi b'chli barzel. Not with utensils of iron. Shechoyz shem boy. He did not dig a tunnel with metal. Kidei shlo yishmu koyla. Because metal would make noise. Uchmoy chayin k'odem ha'yotzi pisem b'chipazon sh'ein loi p'nai l'kach askelov. And he did, so too like a person who escapes suddenly, he does not have time to take his utensils. Kain Sitkiyahu Visorov, Kisharo, Sor Hamelch Babel, Boch Brok Miyad, the Yatsu Bihi Pazon, this entire illustration is all alluding to Tzidkiyahu, who would escape, would leave suddenly. The Afal Pish She'ein Kosov Shom Shechotre Bikir, even though it does not say in Sefer Melachim that Tzidkiyahu tunneled through a wall. Kevan Shamar Hine Bakir Yachtiru. Since it says here that Yecheskel says, I have done so, Emes Kein Hoya. V'chei Nir Miderech HaSvara, Ki Heim Yotzu Derech Gan HaMelech. Yitzidkiyahu and his servants escaped through the Gan HaMelech. Shenichnesu Derech Pesach HaGan, the entrance of the Gan. V'choshu Bikir HaGan, and they tunnel through the wall of the Gan. Kishekenegda, Lot Seitzbo, Uviyad Chofu Bo, and they tunnel with their own hands. Ki Lo Hoy Lechem. What?
Sorry, do you mean they tunnel through the wall or under the wall?
It's, I think, through the wall. It says no. Isn't, I don't know. Maybe under the wall. I don't know the answer. I don't know.
Tunnel.
A tunnel is normally underneath, but sometimes a tunnel means you go through. So the Radak here is teaching us something very interesting, that although we have absolutely no record in Tanakh that Tzidkiyahu himself and his men, they had to physically dig tunnels to break their way through walls or under walls, does not say that anywhere in Tanakh. We can learn and we could assume that since Yechezkel, what he is doing is a sign for Tzidkiyahu, and Tzidkiyahu says, I did indeed tunnel with my bare hands, this is enough of a proof that Tzidkiyahu himself had to escape in the middle of the night and had to tunnel through walls with his bare hands without even using metal instruments to break through the walls in order to escape the Kasdim who were about to capture him. It didn't make a difference because when he reached his destination, anyway, he was captured by the Kasdim in wherever he came out through the story where there was a deer there that came and happened to be exactly where he came out of the cave. Okay, now we go to the next pasuk. Pasuk says, now we go through the pasuk very easy. Pasuk Ches, Vahid Rashi Milay Baboker Lemar. Hashem spoke to Yechezkel in the morning, saying, Pasek Yud, Ben Adam, Haloi, Amru Elecha, Beis Yisrael, Beis Hameri, Mo Ato Oiseh. Did I not tell you that the Beis Yisrael... It's okay, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, Vahid Rashi Milay Baboker Lemar, Hameri Mo Ato Oiseh. What are you doing? Let's see the Radak. Let's see the Mitzvahs Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches says Pasuk Ches and Tes. Haloy Amru Haloy Shualu Oischa Al Mo Ato Oiseh Kidvar Mo Eile. The people, when they observe, they said to you, "What are you doing?" It worked. The technique that Hashem told Yechezkel to do worked. The people now are saying to Yechezkel, Yechezkel, what in the world are you doing? Shalu oischa al mo ato oischa kadra mo'ila. Choymer haim shalu vi'ato lo heshivoyis lohem. Hashem now is upset at Yechezkel, why didn't you tell them? When the people ask you, what are you doing? You should respond. The reason why I'm doing this is because what I am doing is a sign, is a my face for all of you, for the Bnei Yisrael. They're also going to go into Golus. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, there is none. Radak, Pasuk, Ches, and Tes. There is none either. Pasuk Yud. Next pasuk. Back to the text. Pasuk Yud. So now Hashem says, here is what you should tell the people. Emor Alehem. The reason why I'm behaving in such a strange way is for the following reason. Emor Alehem. Koyam Hashem Elokim. Hanosi. Hamas. Hanosi. So this prophecy. The Hanosi is the prophecy. So Hanosi means the Melech. Hanosi. Hamasa Hazeb Yerushalayim is concerning. The Masa means the vision, the Nevuah, concerns the Nasi, that is in Yerushalayim, the whole Beis Yisrael, Asher Hema B'Sechem. So you have to really translate these words a little bit differently. The answer is, what I am doing is symbolic of what is going to happen to the Nasi, which means the Melech, and all the people that are living in Yerushalayim. So the word Hamasa means the prophecy, concerns Hanasi, the prince, the Melech, and the whole Beis Yisrael, Ashahim Abasaycham. Let's see the Mitzvah Sapasig Yud. You have to read the words out of order. Emar, Teshuva al Sheilaschem. I have an answer to your question. Hanasi Hamasa. Ritzoyno Loimar. Al Hanasi. What I am doing concerns the Melech. Hu Hamelech Olav. The one who is the king upon the city. Merames Masa Hanavuah is hinting. The vision, the masa means the burden of the prophecy. Yahu, Masha Yikru Yerushalayim. What's going to happen in Yerushalayim? Also to him, the ace called Beis Yisrael. B'soicham Ritzon Leimar Bechat Bechutzo. So here in the streets of the city, what I am doing is a sign. What's going to happen to the king and to all of the people? Let's see Rashi Pasuk Yud Hanasi Hamaso Hazem Al Hamelech Tzidkiyahu. Ani mare hamaso hazeh Lashon Nevua. The word Masa is an expression of a Nevua. Every Nevua is a Masa, is a burden. Why is it called the burden? This goes back to something that we discussed many times in the beginning of the Sefer, because you have to release it. Being that we have absolutely no understanding of what prophecy is all about, we only can gain little insights and try to understand what it's about. But a person who has a Nevua has to get it off his chest. Okay, sometimes a person is bothered.
Unburden
yourself. So even though we try to think that we understand this, when something bothers us, daga b'levish yisachen la'chedim, you shall try to release it, unburden yourself, speak it out with someone, get it off your chest. Al achas kama v'kama, 100 times over, a person who has a nevuah. If Hashem puts a prophecy in the person's mind, the Navi has an incredible burden that's crushing him, and the only way he can get rid of that burden is by releasing the nevuah to the people. And this nevuah is in reference to the Melech. Let's see the Radak.
That's the lowest form of nevuah. Now that they're in Golos and it becomes such dire prophecy, it is a tremendous burden, and he's in Golos now, so the level of prophecy is a very low form of prophecy. Of course, at the beginning it says Dvar Hashem El Yecheskel. It's direct to him. Now it's a real masa. It's already getting close to Golos, so it has really descended the level of prophecy.
It's a low, now the lowest level. The lowest level. Very good.
So the term, by using the term Nasi, is he downgrading?
Very interesting. Right. I was thinking the same thing. I don't know. It seems like that. Yeah. I don't know the answer. Yeah. Because the Melech.
Because at this stage, you know.
It's the Melech.
It's like they said, a certain dictator now. He only controls the capital city. He has no control over everything else. So therefore, why do you want to call him the?
He's the leader in name only. He has no real power.
Yeah, so
he's just a figurehead.
Yeah, I don't know. It's you're right. It's because in the time of the Bayesheni, they were downgraded. They were no longer called.
They
were in the Siam, a Nasi, in the Bayesheni, after like the end of the Bayesheni. You're right. So why are we downgrading him? I don't know the answer. It's a very, very good point. Okay, let's see the Radak Pasuk Yud. Vayihi vayihi ven Adam hanasi hamasa azeh b'Yerushalayim perushu ketargumoi al Rabba matal nivi usa hadab b'Yerushalayim, on the great one. And the great one, meaning the Nasi, means the Nasi, he means the greatest one, the leader, has it been cast? Has it descended the following prophecy? The Vuasa Hadad of this prophecy, Yerushalayim, the Nasi, who is the Nasi that we're referring to? Who? Tzidkiyahu. Okay, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Pasuk Yud Aleph says, Emor, Emor, Ani Moy Feschem. Hashem says to Yechezkel, I want you to tell the Jewish people as follows. Say to them, I, the person, Yechezkel, serve as a sign for you. I am Mo Feschem, your sign. Kasher Asisi, the same thing that I have done, Kain Ye'ose Lohem, so shall be done to them, the people of Yerushalayim, in 6 years from now. Bagoyla, Bashevi Yelechu, they will go into exile, in a state of captivity shall they go. Pasuk Yud Aleph in the Mitzudos Tavit, Ani Mo Feschem, Ani Lohem Limoyfes. Kasher Asisi, Loleches Kederech HaGoylim, the same way I have gone in this way, Kain Ye'ose Lohem, V'chayzim V'farish, Yelechu Goyle, Bashevi, they will all go into Golis, Bashevi in captivity. Rashi, there is none, Radak, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Emor Ani Kain Ye'ose Lohem, Ye'ose Lohem, V'loy Amar Kain Ye'asu Lohem, it says, Cain, right, he's coming to ask the question, why does Cain ye'oseh and does not say ya'asu? Ya'asu means you shall do. It means so shall it be done. Lefisha al korcham golu begoyle bashevi, it's against the word ye'oseh means it's going to happen to them whether they like it or not, against their will. It's not something that they will participate. They will not do this on their own. I am doing this on my own. I have free will. I'm choosing to do this. That's not the way it's going to happen to them. To them, it's going to happen against their will. Ki yesh goyla she'ena shevi. There is a goyla that's not called a shevi. Kamo v'gam goyla ato limukaymcha. V'yigolum el v'yigolum el man minchas. I don't know what that word means. You know what that word means? Anyone following along? Okay, let's go further. Pasuk Yud Beis.
The Malbim makes an interesting point in reference to the word Nasi.
Yeah.
He says that using the word Nasi because it's a play on words, the word Masa.
Ah. So since Masa,
it's talking about Tzikiyo,
the burden.
It's talking about Tzikiyo.
So play on the words.
So the Tzikiyo has the Masa, so he's a Nasi with a Masa.
It's a play on the words. Very good. It's a poetic expression.
Right.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Pasuk Yud Beis. The Hanasi Asher B'Sechom. Now he elaborates. The Nasi Asher B'Sechom, referring to Tzidkiyahu, El Kosef Yisah, will carry his knapsack on his shoulder, Bo'alota, in darkness, V'yetze, and he will leave. Tzidkiyahu will have to leave Yerushalayim in the middle of the night. Bakir Yachteru, Lohitzi Bo, he will have to tunnel with his hands against the wall, or under the wall, or through the wall, lohitzivo, to go forth through the wall of the city in order to escape the custom. Ponov yichase, and the king will cover his face, yan, so that, asher lo yire la'ayin, hu esoret, so that he will not see the face of the earth. Mitzudo stavet pasuk yud beis v'hanosi ze ha-melech tzidkiyo. The Melech Tzidkiyah, he is the topic, he is the subject of my prophecy, of my behavior. El Kosef, Ala Kosef Yitzhak Kleha Goyla B'taltolav B'oifel HaChayshach. The king himself will carry on his shoulder his utensils in pitch black darkness. Obviously, it's not a covet for the king to have to carry his own utensils. The king has an entourage, he has many servants. But when the king has to escape for his life, he'll take a knapsack, just like everyone else, and escape. V'chein yetzei menira, and that's how he will leave. He will go through the kir, he will tunnel his way through the wall of the city. Ya'asu le'chatira b'kir, he will do a chatira, a digging, a tunneling in the wall, lohitzi b'yasatzbo, in order to escape. The al hamo'ora ye'omar ki derech b'yivarach, and this refers to the cave, because it's through the cave which Tzidkiyahu escaped. Yan asher, ritzon lo'emar, leman lo yirehu be'enov es am oretz, kishuhu b'reach, he should not see the ein ha'oretz. So here we have a very fascinating interpretation of the Mitzudos David. The ein ha'oretz means the people. The people of the city, because he's embarrassed, he's a failure. His responsibility is towards the people, and here he's like a coward. He's running away from his people. Leman lo yirahu be'enav es am haaretz kishahu bereach shulo levoishes ulechlima, because it's a shame. It's a terrible shame that he has to run away like this. Lechein therefore yichase panav, therefore he will cover his face. Let us see what it says in Rashi. Rashi pasuk yidbeis panav yichase machmas kelima shahu bereach minoir lailo, he has to escape from the city in the middle of night. Radak pasuk yidbeis vehanasi el kosef yisa begodav. The Nasi will carry his clothing upon his shoulders, ka'adam bareach, similar to the way a person escapes, she'meirim begodav al kisefo l'leches kal mehera, who puts his clothing on his shoulders in order that he can run very quickly, ba'alata, in the middle of the night, kibla la'yitzei, k'mosh ha'kos bekir yachtru lo'hitzi bo, he will tunnel through the wall, bekir hagan yachtru, which wall? So we know from Pesukim in Sefer Melachim, there was the kir of the gan, the wall of the garden that surrounded his palace, yachtru lo avodav lo'hitzi bo, they will tunnel through, his servants will tunnel through in order to escape, yana shalo yir la'in ha'aretz, bavush lo yira es ha'aretz, but say so, he does not say what it said in the Mitzudah. He should not see just the earth. It is a disgrace that the king who protects and serves the city should have to run away from the city. Through the wall, yachterun, he will tunnel li'apokusa be'apoi yichase halaf dechav yinakrun yos enohi v'lo yichase yos aror. Maybe you can give us a translation to Pasuk Yud Beis in the end of the last maschil of the Targum. Pasuk Yud Beis yichase ponov, towards the end.
Because of shame that he is fleeing from the city at night.
This is Radak. He doesn't have a translation there. Okay.
He will cover his face because he has sinned, and they will gouge out his eyes, and he will not see the land.
Oh, that's also very important. So he's saying over here that when it says he will not, so the Targum says this refers to what happened in Rivla when Nebuchadnezzar blinded Tzidkiyahu. Okay, that's not, see, it was simply, we have really three perushim of what these words mean. According to the Mitzudos, he should not see the people. He is ashamed of seeing the members of society who he failed to protect, he failed to assist.
The Malbim says he closed his eyes to the tzaris of the people. So this is Mida Keneged Mida, basically.
So now he can't look at the people. The people,
he
the Ein Haaretz.
He closed his eyes to that tzaris, and now he can't. He has to hide his face.
So it's the people. He has to cover his eyes from the people. Rashi doesn't say that, but the Radak in his first interpretation says that he will just not see the earth. Because when you're covering yourself, you have to cover yourself entirely, you have to cover your eyes so you can't see the earth, not necessarily the people. But the Targum gives us a more midrashic approach and says, refers to, he will not see the face of the earth when he will be caught. When he comes out of the cave in Rivlah, he was caught by Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar by his men, and he was brought to Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar blinded Tzidkiyahu. Now we mentioned once that there are midrashim that tell us that Tzidkiyahu's eyes were lamala miderech hateva. I don't know if you remember, many years ago, I never saw the movie, so I know. I don't have any sins to confess, but I did see a clip. I remember seeing a clip online where they said that when they made this Superman movie, they spent an enormous amount of money on this moment when someone shot a bullet into the eye of Superman. Okay, you can Google this later. One of the villains shot a bullet into the eye of Superman, and it was slow motion. How the bullet went into his eye, it's grotesque, it's graphic, and how the bullet basically dissolved, it was repelled by the koyach of his eye, of Superman's eye, and they say the sophistication, the computer imaging, and the amount of time they spent on doing this scene, which took literally 5 to 10 seconds, it's like $1 million, just to do this incredible high-tech scene. So, you can use that to learn about Tzidkiyahu, because Chazal basically say that Tzidkiyahu had such eyes. The Medrash that says that Tzidkiyahu's eyes were lemala miderech hateva. Nebuchadnezzar tried to blind him by taking all different types of metal, tools, and instruments, and destructive weapons, and smashed them into his eyes, and nothing happened. His eyes were like rocks, the most solid rocks. You have to look up where this medrash is. We had this medrash probably in Yirmiyah. I mean, we learned it on the set, and nothing worked. Nothing could work because he was known that his koyach ha-ri'iyah was ma'ala mederech ha-teva. He can maybe even see mamash at the end of the world. He was very supernatural eyes, both physically and spiritually, very supernatural. So what did Nebuchadnezzar do? He took his 10 children and he killed them, he murdered them in front of Tzidkiyahu. And the tsar, the bitter tears that came forth, that flowed from his eyes, caused his eyes to go blind. So everything was said and done. His eyes did not go blind from physical force. It went blind from tsar, from the pain of witnessing the death of his 10 children. Okay, that's what it says in the Medrash, and that's really what it's alluding to over here in the Targum. V'lo yire la'ayin hu al ha'aretz. His eyes will no longer see upon the earth. This means when he will be captured by Nebuchadnezzar, who was fascinated with the fact that he had this unusual koyach ha'ri'iyah, which was a legend in his time and day, according to the Medrash, and he wanted to deny him of this gift. And he did not succeed after a long series of attempts to do it physically. He then went and did it in this way by causing him tsar, his cry over the loss of his 10 children. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Uforasti es rishti alav. I will spread my net upon him.
It's not that he went blind normally, naturally. He saw too much.
From things that he saw,
blind from seeing too much.
Yitzchak, Yitzchak the tsar. It says that his daughter-in-law caused him tsar.
Right. So he saw too much. He didn't want to see anymore.
Esav's wife.
The Ketores, Esav himself. So he didn't want to see. It's a very strange marriage. It says the marriage that the Malachim cried. What does it mean that Malachim cried? Since when do we find that Malachim have emotion? We have all these strange things about malachim. We learn these midrashim. There are baby malachim who can't fly. They need to go on ladders.
Okay, there's a kruv, there's a baby kruv, an adult kruv, a young kruv, and then we have the malachim, they cry, they have tears. Very interesting. Malachim are a whole world in and of themselves.
Rambam says there's 10 levels of malachim, and the lowest ones are very close to human beings. The Ishim, they're very close to be human beings.
Okay, you're right. Very interesting. Very interesting, all these ideas. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk Gimel, Uforasti es rishti alav. I will spread my net upon him. V'nispas bimtsudosi. Oh, the mitsudos of it. Look at that. And he will be caught in my net. He'll be caught in my trap. V'vesiosu bavel. I will bring Tzidkiyot to bavel. Eretz kastim. V'oysol lo yireh. He will that, the land he will not see. Okay, we mentioned because he'll be blind. V'sham yamus. And there he will die. Let's see the mitsudo stavet pasuk yud gimel. Uforasti amru rabbi sin zchon levracha ma'ara hoy salami beis oviat arvos tirichai. Chazal tell us that Tzidkiyot had a cave. Now this, I assume, is not a contradiction to what we said before, that he would have to tunnel. He would have to tunnel through a wall. I guess in order to get into the cave, you had to go tunnel through this wall. But he did have a cave that led from his home ad Arvois Yerichai, until the plains of Yerichai, uborach derech bo, and Tzidkiyahu escaped through this tunnel, v'nizdamin tzvi hoylich mimal al ha'ma'ara, and Hashkacha Pratis had it, that there was a deer that was walking along, that was running away from these soldiers who were hungry, looking for lunch. They were going out to the local Dunkin' Donuts for their lunch break, and the deer took them to the opening of this tunnel, and that the moment when the Tzidkiyahu came out, the deer passed. V'rodfu kastim achar hatsi uvevo lepesach ha'ma'ara matzah es ha'melech v'yoytze v'tavsu, and they caught him. So they were off duty. Tzidkiyahu was caught. It's such a bizoyon. It's such a bizoyon how he was caught by accident by soldiers who were off duty. You always see on the news, guy was shot by an off duty cop, right? So the mazel of this poor fellow. He was it's one thing, at least he was shot by a cop who's on duty. Here they were off duty, here they were running to go for food, and they were caught by, and Tzidkiyahu went, and they were caught. Bavela Eretz Kastim, Lubavol Shoyim Eretz Kastim, Vaisaloy Yireh, Ki Nebuchadnezzar, Iver Es Einav, Nebuchadnezzar blinded Tzidkiyahu, Adlo, Hevi Lubavol, before he was brought to Bavel, V'imkein Lo Yireh Es Bavel, he never actually saw Bavel. In fact, this was a Nevuah that was said, this Nevuah is a Nevuah that this pasuk is one of the pasukim by Tzidkiyahu rejected, according to Chazal. I don't know exactly where the Chazal is. I'm recalling from memory. He rejected the nevuos of Nebuchadnezzar because he says it doesn't make any sense. You're talking nonsense. If you're telling me rational things, then maybe I'll pay attention. There's something to pay attention to. But over here, you're telling me over here, I'm going to be brought down the veisiyos sabavel eretz kastim. I'm going to be brought, you're going to bring me to Eretz Kastim, but oisolo yere, but I'm not going to see it. The land I'm not going to see, and there I'm going to die. Doesn't make sense. If I'm going to be brought down to the land of the Kastim, I'm obviously going to see it. So, Yechezkel, when Tzidkiyahu heard a report of Yechezkel's Nevuah, he mocked it. It doesn't make any sense. How could you be brought to a land and not see the land? Little did he know that what he meant was, you're going to be blinded. Before you come into the land, in Rivla, Nebuchadnezzar is going to blind you. So indeed, your physical body will be brought to Bavel alive,
but you will visually not see it.
Okay, let's see what it says over here. Let's see what it says over here in the Mitsudo Stavet Pasuk Yud Gimel. Oh, we did pasuk. I'm sorry, we did read pasuk. Let's see, Radak pasuk Gimel. Farasi es rishi olav ma'aru hoylo. Same thing. Ma'aru hoylo hoylo mibeis arvos yirechai. V'yatsa derech hamara. He escaped through the cave. Ma'as hakadosh baruch hu. Hevi tzvi echa lifnei chel kastim hoylech lifneihem al gag hamara. Hashem brought a deer before the army of the Kastim, and it went to the opening of the Gag, the roof of the cave. Veheim roitvim oiso, and the Kastim were pursuing this deer. Uchashayatza tzidkiyahu min ha'ara b'arvos yirechai. Ra'uhu yoytzei v'tafsuhu. They saw him come out of the cave, and they seized him, they grabbed him. Notice also the poetic justice of Hashem. It's a tzvi. Eretz Yisrael is called the Eretz Hatzvi. The land of beauty. And the tzvi, there are many, many Mamar Chazal, why the word tzvi still means beauty, but it means also expansive, that right. The land expands, just like the hide of a deer expands based upon the size of the deer. It's one of the unique characteristics of a deer. So to the land expands to accommodate Klal Yisrael. How are we going to all be living in Eretz Yisrael when Mashiach comes? Where are we going to find place? They don't even let us build settlements. Can't even build a few houses. The land will expand miraculously. So, but and Dakatzvi, here with the Makem Bepatish, the Golus, the Melech is the Leiv Ha'am. The Golus came about through a Tzvi, through a deer. The Eretz Hatzvi came about through the close of the Eretz Hatzvi came about through a Tzvi. There's this poetic justice happening all over in every corner you turn in the Churban Beis Hamikdash.
Could you tell us that one of the saddest parts was Sham Yomus? Remember you talked about that once.
Correct. I don't remember, but it makes sense. The Sham Yomos, the fact that you're not buried in your homeland, we don't appreciate this today, obviously. But in those times, that's a very big disgrace. Exactly. The Yaakov Avinu, you know, made Yosef make a shvua to go from Golos to go. Alachas kama v'kama. If you're living in Eretz Yisrael, to be taken out of the land to be buried somewhere else. It's in time of Chazal, and Chazal say v'chiper ad mosay amo. It's the last words of the Shiva v'chiper ad mosay amo in hazinu. No, the tzakapar to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So this indeed is a very big curse. It's a very big curse. A melech of Klal Yisrael, the last melech of Klal Yisrael, not to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, is obviously extremely, extremely disturbing. V'sham yamos, absolutely. Okay, the oisol lo yireh. Ki, you're not going to see why. Ki berivla be'aretz chamos in rivla, in the land of chamos, diber itoy mishpatim is where Nebuchadnezzar spoke harshly to Tzidkiyahu. The iveres einav and blinded his eyes. The achar kein heviu lebavel, and he brought him to Bavel. Kamosh amar sefer in Melachim and in sefer Yirmiyahu. Let's see the radak from the shapasik gimel uforasti. I will spread out esrishti, my net, upon him, upon the king, she'etein b'leiv hakastim lirdoif acharav ula hasigoy, to overtake him. Uvidrash, what's the drash? Everyone here is on the same page, all three of the commentators. Me'oro hoysa mibeit Tzidkiyahu ad arvois yirechoy, ubarach lo Tzidkiyahu derech ha'ma'ora, v'yakadosh baruch hu zimein tzvi, v'holach al-gabi ha'ma'ora, v'radfu hakastim achar ha'tzvi, ch'shegiyo al ha'pesach ha'ma'ora hoye Tzidkiyahu yoytzei, v'lachdu, v'zeh sh'omar yichezkel uforasti. That's what it means, the net. The net over here means the net was really spread to capture the deer, not to capture Tzidkiyahu, but Tzidkiyahu was captured in this trap. The osolo yireki melech bavel iver einav birivlasa, blinded his eyes in rivlasa. Okay, we're going to stop over here. We're up to pasuk yud dalit. Ki yod Hashem al keisko. All right, today we're going to do